Chapter 11. The Mighty Mississippi. The rest of the train ride went by quickly. After the mention of money, Hank got serious. Up until that point, he was just humoring a kid to pay for his breakfast. Buck was a little reluctant to show Hank how much he had. Although he felt he could trust Hank, Buck did not really know this stranger. He did put Buck in mind of his father in many ways. Nevertheless, when they got off the train, Hank could simply overpower him and take all of his money. Therefore, Buck split his coins into two equal parts and hid half in his shoes. The rest he kept in the small leather pouch around his neck, under his shirt. When Hank asked how Buck came to be on the train alone, he was told only part of the truth. The facts that Buck was an orphan and the selling of the farm were true enough. However, Buck told Hank that the fever had killed both his parents. Buck also failed to mention that he was on the run from the law. Hank might think less of Buck if he knew that he had killed two people. Although, from the looks of Hank, Buck was sure this old cowboy had killed his share. Buck asked Hank so many questions about the West and his life there that Hank grew tired of answering them. He told the boy to just be patient and he could see for himself. Through Buck's many annoying questions, he found out that Hank had a spread of a few hundred acres in North Texas. Hank's ranch had a cabin, bunkhouse, and barn. It had good water and was only 2 miles from a small town. Hank had lost his wife, giving birth to their only child. Unfortunately, the child died just a few days after her mother. Hank had never remarried, nor felt the need for another full-time woman in his life. His only living relative was a younger sister, and after the misunderstanding with her new husband, Hank doubted that he would be welcome back there again. Therefore, Buck and Hank were both orphans in a way. He also suggested that the boy call him Uncle Hank to avoid having to answer a bunch of questions regarding their being together. His plan had been to borrow the money from his new brother-in-law, head back to Texas by way of the Mississippi, and then cut across country to his spread. Bob was looking after things until he returned. The rest of his men were to meet him there in the spring for the next roundup. Buck had never been on a riverboat, but he'd seen pictures of them in a book at school. Those pictures did not do it justice. The trip from St. Louis south by boat was wonderful, more pleasant than the train. The boat glided along on the mighty river effortlessly. Once they left the ship, Hank told Buck that they might as well buy the needed chuck wagon and team there. That way both could get broken in on the way to his place. Hank questioned Buck's riding skills for such a long cross-country trip. The stampeding longhorns from his last drive had stomped his old chuck wagon and all its contents into the dust. He had not been able to salvage much more than an old iron skillet and a few bent spoons. He did make a good point about the needed supplies being cheaper from the stores along the river. Why should they pay extra for someone else to haul the stuff to Texas? They were going there anyway. The general store near his ranch always charged more for things near Roundup. The owner knew Hank had to have these supplies for his drive north. After buying the wagon, supplies, and team, not much was left of the money Buck had given Hank. The trip downriver had been costly as well, especially after one late-night poker hand that Hank was certain that he was going to win. Buck had to make up for this loss from the other half of his money. With nearly all his money now gone, Buck had little choice but to stick it out to the end. The speed that Hank had gone through the money had Buck doubting the soundness of his decision to hook up with him. Yet Hank's assurances that he intended to repay this debt in full kept Buck's hopes alive. Besides, Buck really had nowhere else he had to be. Here was as good a place as any. Hank pushed the team westward, but not too hard. He told Buck that a good chuck wagon team needed to be trained to travel at a slow, steady pace. The chuck wagon would be traveling at the head of the herd. If its team started to run, the rush of the wagon could cause the whole herd to stampede. He definitely did not want a repeat of last year's loss. Sleeping under a wagon sure beats sleeping out in the open, especially when it rained. In addition, they had the added bonus of having plenty of supplies. Had they decided to just buy two mounts, then the stars would have been their only shelter. Their food would have been limited to what their saddlebags could have held and what game they killed along the way. Throughout the trip, Buck poked and prodded more information from Hank. He kept asking exactly what his duties would be on the cattle drive. At times, Hank would start to balk at the boy's many questions. That's when Buck would remind him that he was Hank's partner and not just some kid along for the ride. Hank would then reluctantly answer, but would not try to hide his irritation. Buck did not care if his questions made Hank mad. He was paying good money for these lessons and was intent on picking Hank's brain for any bits of useful information. By the time they made it to Hank's place, Buck thought he knew enough about cattle that the locals would not think him too much the outsider. Buck had even been practicing to speak with a slow southern drawl. He wanted to blend in and vanish. The law was not looking for Hank Rhodes' nephew in Texas.